To any of these proceedings, blind handyman, blind like me. Dale Campbell, sir, how are you?
I'm doing great, Phil. How are you doing today?
Well, you're really not. Tell us about your...
Oh, man, I'm in pain, y'all. I was harnessing Kelsey up and stood up last night and wrenched my back, so I'm waiting for the pain pills to kick in. I've got muscle spasms, tossed and turned all night, but it'll get better. Tomorrow's a new day.
This being 40 is just no fun.
40's killing me. I say, take me back to 39. Let me relive that one more year.
I love it. 40 years old.
Well, you know, with the pain, it just reminds me of one thing. We're still alive.
We're still alive. That's right. A lady told me one time I was going through a hard time. I told her that I just really having a hard time. She said, thank God you still can feel and cry. You know, that proves that you're still with us.
Still with, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not pushing daisies yet, by God.
So let's get into, very quickly here, the Mouse Hole Scholarship is having an auction. And just tell us all about it.
Well, the Mouse Hole Scholarship, as everybody knows, is the scholarship fund that's sponsored by Blind MySmart that provides scholarships for visually impaired students and also students with visually impaired parents. And we've started a little auction. It's online at www.blindmysmart.com. Go to the website and go down until you find the link for the auction barn that will open up the auction. And we've got 31 products up for bids, and the proceeds from all these items go to benefit the Mouse Hole Scholarships for next year. This year we've raised $1,150 that we are currently in the middle of the essay contest for. So while you're at the website, you can also go to Mouse Hole Scholarships and click on that and get the information if you're interested in entering an essay for us to judge.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we've got $500 for first place, so there's absolutely no reason why not to submit an essay. The contest closes on May the 17th. That'll be the last day we accept essays.
Okay.
But all the information's there at the website.
All right.
But better than that, the auction barn, man, we've got Ann Morris has donated some products to us. Blind MySmart, of course, has thrown some products in. And then after the first day when we put the auction up, Mike Calvo with Freedom Box called me up, and they gave us a Freedom Box passkey also that they are going to, that's up for auction.
Okay.
For those of you not familiar with Freedom Box, it's another speech engine for us blind users, and it's actually more than that. It's actually a whole community. But the passkey allows you to be able to basically to take a mini disc with you. Any computer you sit down at, you can put the mini disc into the computer, and it will access the internet and pull all your information up and make the computer start talking. So if you go to grandma's house or you go over to your brother's house or you're at the library, wherever, you just drop this little mini disc in, it'll access everything, pull it up, and all of a sudden you've got a talking computer at your fingertips. It's a great, great product. For more information on Freedom Box and all their products, go to www.freedombox.info. That's Freedom, F-R-E-E-D-O-M. box.info, I-N-F-O.
Okay.
You can read about all their products. But just to highlight, we've got a few items from the kitchen that will definitely get people that they want to come in. We've got a great barbecue set. It's a five-piece barbecue set for outdoor grilling. Hey, it's summertime. Time to fire the grill up. We've got a microwave breakfast set that includes an omelet maker, an egg fryer, and also a bacon rack. There's a microwave potato chip maker, which is kind of cool.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, you slice your chips down and put it in this contraption and put it in the oven or in the microwave and have at it.
We got potato chips, yeah.
You've got chips. Let's see. We've got also a little manual food chopper, you know, for chopping up nuts and garlic and different, you know, basil, fresh herbs, all that kind of thing. And this is something that I use myself. It breaks apart into like 3 easy pieces for super easy cleaning. I mean, the old ones used to be a glass jar, and they used to be a booger to clean out.
Yeah.
And these new ones just are really awesome. They come apart really easy for cleaning. Let's see what we else
All right.
We've got a 41-piece kitchen set that comes with, goodness gracious, it's got measuring cups, measuring spoons. It has a 14-piece knife set. It has steak knives. It has a cutting board, a can opener, a corkscrew. It's just got all kinds of interesting stuff that you'll need. I mean, it's great for anybody starting off with a kitchen or anything else. One thing I like about the measuring cups and the spoons, I almost kept them, was because they're black. So with us, you know, visually impaired or low vision people, with them being a dark color, if you're measuring out any of the ingredients, you can really see in the cup a lot easier. There's a great contrast there.
Okay. For you just have to order yourself a set, right?
That's it. Come and order one. A set of the great Kitchen Grip oven mitts, they're on the auction. You know, these are the ones that Don Shaw uses, and you know, they protect you from 100 degrees to 500 degrees and protect you against liquids and steam, or basically you just clean them up, you just rinse them off under the sink, throw them in the dishwasher, whatever. I tell you, after I got the first set, I don't even mess with using anything else now.
Really?
They're non-flammable. I've tossed all everything else and just use these guys. The thing I love about them, they're so thin, Phil, that when you touch them, you touch anything with them, when you have them on, you can feel what it is.
Okay.
I mean, I picked up a AA battery the other day and rubbed it around on my hand. Oh, it's a AA battery.
Tell what it is, yeah.
I could even feel the nipple end. So that was kind of cool. We have a fat mat. This is donated by Ann Morris. Basically, this is like just a reusable paper towel, if you will. You put it in with whatever you're cooking. It absorbs the grease, and then you just take it and toss it in your dishwasher and wash it off. So there's a citrus peeler available, a Webster's Thesaurus, and also a large print Webster's Dictionary. Man, this will be great for any students out there. And you can get this, use it to enhance your essay that you'll be sending us for the Mouthful Scholarship. There's the DVS movie. That's the video described movie of Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock's classic.
All right.
There's an ID wallet. You know, it's one of Ann Morris's wallets that has the different compartments in it for bills and holds credit cards and all that stuff.
Yeah.
There's even a little doorstop, you know, in case you've got a blemish on your wall where your doorknob keeps hitting it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great little item. Get it, plug it up. Put it right over there, and one, you'll keep the door from banging into the wall, and secondly, you'll kind of cover that blemish. Beats getting out the old mud and the sheetrock and doing all that repair.
Yeah, really. All right.
One last thing. We've got an organizer tower. This is a tall tower. It features roughly about a 5x5 drawer drawers. I think it has either 7 or 10 drawers. I don't remember right off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But man, it's a nice little item as well.
All right, that would be.
There's a power station also, the four-year computer center. It's a computer power station. It has 5 plug-ins where you can plug in all your peripherals. It has toggle switches. It has a phone line jack on it as well.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. But there's
all right, I'm fixing to go bid on the organizer right quick. Now, we close what day?
We close on May the 2nd at 11:59 p.m. So
all right.
That's a Monday.
That's next Monday.
Next Monday.
So all right.
When you hear this air, I mean, if you're listening Friday or Saturday, Monday, May the 2nd, get your bids in. I'll be up all night pulling the bids, and we'll have everything posted on Tuesday as who is the final winner. When you bid, I will send you an email telling you, and basically that's all you got to do. When you click through, there are links on the auction that I want to bid on this. Just hit on that link. It'll kick you over to your email program. Enter how much you want to bid. Make sure you include your name and address, all that good stuff. And I'll send you an email letting you know if you're the high bidder or if there is a bid that beats you. And when you get outbid, I'll give you a snap you a message also and let you know you've been outbid.
All right. Now, the address again of the Mouseholds of the auction is?
The auction is go to Blind Mice Mart at www.blindmicemart.com and tab down until you come to the auction barn. When you hear the link for the auction barn, enter on that. That'll zap you right to the auction items. There's some hints on there too for people using screen readers if you want to get a little help, you know, reading through the auctions. But basically, all the items are listed there. Just tab through them. If you see one you want to bid on, you know, bid on it. Send us a bid. And again, folks, it goes to help the blind. I mean, it's kind of a selfish thing we're doing here. The more blind kids we can get educated and get out in the world, the more the world is going to have to start providing accommodation to us.
All right, sir. We are out of time. Dale, thanks much, sir.
Thanks,
and we'll fix and go bid on the organizer.
All right. We'll
all
be
right.
Happy to take your money.
Good.
Have a nice day, everybody.
Let us go out now to California with a friend, Dave. Well, I think we... did we have you on Handyman one time, or is this your first time?
No, I've been on Handyman once. I was talking about buying and selling homes.
Buying and selling homes. We talked about that. And then I think we did an email one time about a door that you had that was falling off. Remember that?
Oh, just a door that I had trouble adjusting.
Yeah.
My garage door wouldn't close.
Yeah. Well, Dave McElroy from somewhere out in California.
Visalia.
Visalia. I think, you know, one of the first times I heard about you, knew you existed, you were talking to Jonathan Mosen, and you were walking to a restaurant in carrying your cane with one hand, waving it in front of you to keep from running into things, and talking on your cell phone with your other hand.
Well, I don't think I was waving. I was doing the proper cane arc technique.
Oh, I thought you were supposed to wave it. I didn't know. But you're walking down the street, you and Pam, walking down the street, talking on AC worldwide on ACB radio, and walking to a restaurant. I just thought that, you know, when I was young, I don't know that I even had the nerve to do that.
Oh, well, they weren't cell phones when you were young.
Well, no, there were barely phones when I was young. We had.
They did. They cranked, though.
Yeah, they did. They cranked. You had to get the operator to come in. Let me get my watch started. So I'll know. Now we're rolling. Anyway, Dave, you're totally blind. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm totally. Yes.
And you were born this way?
Yeah. I was born this way. Yes, I was.
Wow.
A condition known as Leber's congenital amaurosis, or LCA. Yeah.
So you've been dealing with blindness all your life.
Yep. All 51 years of it.
51 years. Well, I remember being 51. It was a good while ago, but I certainly remember it. And that you've had a good life and a good career, and you went to I guess a school for the blind as a child, or what?
I went to a school for the blind in New York for the first 7 years. Then we migrated to California, and I went into the public high school and junior high school system. We had what was called a resource program at the time, which means basically we had one period a day where we went to a special class. We had a person there who helped transcribe tests, things like that, and a teacher who tried to assist with some of the more difficult subject matter like math, geometry, algebra, that kind of thing.
Now, but then you went to college after that.
I went to university, of California, Riverside.
University of California, Riverside, and got a...
bachelor's degree in sociology.
A master's degree.
No, bachelor's.
Oh, bachelor's degree in sociology.
Yeah. Never did get the master's. I thought about it, and then life does strange things, and I married and had a child, and didn't end up getting the master's.
Decided you needed to earn a living worse than go back to college.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, now, we had a lady on before that had a degree. Did you say sociology?
That was a sociology degree.
We had a lady on before that had a degree in sociology. Did you hear her?
I did. And I wanted to refute. She basically said you can't do anything with a sociology degree.
Okay.
Now, let me state here. In 2005, I don't think you can. I would not recommend that a college student of today get out of school with a degree in sociology and head straight for the job market.
Okay.
But in 1977, you could.
So, in part, she was right, but in 77, you could do something with it.
Definitely.
Which is when you got out.
Right.
All right. What did
and
you do?
Basically, I started working for the county welfare system. And, well, first of all, actually, that wasn't even quite true. I initially started working for the Park and Recreation Department at the city of Riverside, which is where I went to school. And we were supposed to be developing grants for the development of programs, recreational programs for the handicapped.
Okay.
So one problem, nobody ever told me how to write a grant. I had no clue, so it was absolutely learning by doing. And I not only had I not, did I know nothing about writing a grant, I'd never even heard of grants.
Really? Oh, well, you know.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
So, in point of fact, it didn't work out very well. But while I was doing that, while I was working for the city of Riverside, I had taken a test for Tulare County, California, then it was called the Department of Welfare. I had taken a test the previous year.
Uh-huh.
And I had not scheduled, I'd not done poorly, but I'd not done well on it, real well on it, mm-hmm. But I did also did Spanish speaking. So along about May of that year, that was 77, it was a little before that, it says you're being considered for a position in Porterville, California. Would you be interested? And I said, yes, I would. So I got on a bus and came up to Visalia, which is the county seat, and
uh-huh.
I I talked to people there, and ultimately they said, well, we don't know that you can do the job, and we think that if you're going to do the job here, you need to sign an indemnity clause that basically says that if you make an error because you're blind, we're not responsible. I didn't know quite what to do with that, so I came back. We had some more arguments with the guy, and then I finally they relented, and I came up for a physical examination. And the physical came back and said I had, I forgot what disease they said I had, but I said, wait a minute, I have no disease, whatever. So anyway, ultimately, a matter of months went by. Finally, I got hired in August of 1977, and I became a welfare department social worker. So.
And how long did you do that?
Basically, in various parameters and various capacities, I did that for 25 years.
87, 97, till after the millennium, actually.
Till
02. And in different, you mean, in other words, you worked for several different cities doing that.
I worked for several different agencies and different configurations of our same agency in Tulare County, both in a small town called Porterville, where I lived for most of my life when I raised my daughter, and then here in Visalia. And so I did have, you know, a reasonably successful, if not high earning, it wasn't, career.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it ended up in a kind of a bad way because the B word came into it again, and new management decided they really didn't want a blind person, and we had a bit of an altercation over the fact that I should have been promoted and wasn't about 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
That ended up in court, so I'm early retired now.
Well, did you win in court?
I would have to say we came to a draw, an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I did not win in that I'm not still working.
But you retired with a pension.
Yeah.
Which is winning, as far as I'm concerned, which is what you basically maybe didn't want, but that's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. I mean,
yeah.
That's why I said it was a draw. You know, it was...
All right.
And unfortunately, at this point, now here I will agree with the at 51 and blind and out, I don't know what I at this point, the next chapter is still to be played. I don't know what that'll be.
Okay. All right. But it was possible at one time to do something with a degree in sociology.
Absolutely.
Which is what, you know,
in our particular, you know, when I was getting out of college, it was. It may even still be if you're in the right place at the right time, but I would certainly not recommend.
It would not be a thing to do for blind people right now.
Yeah. Right now, I think, you know, computers are the way to go if you want to do
it. Well, absolutely. You know, well, I tell you what I think we're going to do. I think we're going to have you listen to all the Blind Like Me shows. And you'll just be our watchdog. If we do anything you don't think works or is a good idea, we'll have you back on. I know. Nancy was a nice lady, and she thought that, and absolutely, we didn't prove her wrong. And actually, you agree with her in this today.
In 2005.
In 2005.
But then I think that's true of any bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just sociology. I think what has happened is that the employment market has become so vigorous that, you know, it just isn't even practical to other than perhaps a degree in computer sciences. Yeah, I can't even say it because my daughter who was sighted, now she got out of school with a degree in accounting and IT and started out in a job that made more than I ever did. So she was one of those lucky 2000 grads that the jobs were, not only were they waiting, but they were hiring these kids before they got out of school.
In 2000 they were, yes.
Yes.
But your recommendation for, just as a closing thing here, your recommendation for a kid now that's going to college would be computer science.
That would be my recommendation.
Oh, man, very much. Dave McElroy, thank you, sir, and we'll talk with you.
Thank you.
Blind Science. Here's a website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Science, here's Tim Cummings.
How would you like to have a nice, easy way to go shopping at the drugstore for things like aspirin or toothpaste or insect repellent or anything like that that you'd need to get? I've got the place for you. It's called www.drugstore.com. And the thing that's great about this site is they've got many different brands of shampoo or aspirin or whatever you're looking for, and you can look through all of them and look through all the different sizes. But the other great thing about the site is that they actually have on a lot of the items the prescription instructions for how to take them. I would give the site a screen reader accessibility rating of a 9. And next time you want to go stock up on anything for your medicine cabinet, check out http://www.drugstore.com. For Blind Sights, this is Tim Cummings saying happy surfing and keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights. Radio Shack doesn't make anymore, but our friend Don Shaw, who's one of the blind handymen, has found a source on them. So if you want one, we can get you one for $25.
Hmm.
We sell everything. Gail Adams, how are you, ma'am?
Fine. I am just fine.
Good. You sound happy and fine and like you're having a good time in life.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? What's your location?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm in the suburbs. I'm in Upper Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice. It's sure beats living downtown.
Well, I guess it does. I think I asked you the other night, but you know Irwin Hott, right?
Yes, I do.
Who does a newsreel magazine?
Yes, and that's up on 80th Long Street.
That's yeah.
I've been in the office, and we've had our computer users group up there once.
Well, it is a nice little magazine. It gives blind people that are maybe don't get to go out or don't get to talk to many people. It gives them an outlet for their opinions and expressions, and is a good thing for the blind. You know,
mm-hmm. Definitely.
And you've lived in Columbus how long?
Well, actually, since I was 2 years old, I was born in Bremerton, Washington.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I was my dad was in the Navy at the time, and.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
And ended up being sent to Columbus, Ohio.
Well, actually, no. When they found out about me, they decided to come to Columbus because it had more service oriented things.
Oh, so then they moved to Columbus because of your blindness.
Yeah, and. Actually, we moved to Plain City for a while. We lived there for a while. That's where my aunt and uncle and my parents now live. My parents moved to Plain City in 86, and they had an old farmhouse at the time, and then they moved out of that, and then they've got a nice house on Kaufman Road.
Well, what did Columbus have that attracted them to move there because of the blindness thing?
Well, they wanted something that they had there's a school, it's called Broadley Elementary, and that's where I went my first, actually, let me go back. I spent some time at Glenmont for preschool. It's a Glenmont Elementary School, and I don't know if it still exists or anything, but they taught me Braille by using fuzzy dots on paper.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I learned. And I was a temper tantrum thrower. I was a pro at it.
Oh, you don't mean it. You can't mean it.
Yes.
I mean, you
ask my mom and dad, they'll tell you.
You'd throw little temper tantrums when you were your baby kid, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And if something didn't work out, or, you know, and especially they used... a balance beam. I had to walk the balance beam. And he was there on that beam. I used to throw temper tantrums. I just said, no, I'm not going to do it. Or I was just being hard-headed, I guess.
Well, when the balance beam was something a little bit off the floor that you were supposed to balance yourself on?
Yeah, they wanted me to improve my balance because of the, you know, I guess the depth perception, if it's not there, it interferes with your balance.
I'm totally blind, and I had, up until the last 2 years, and hell, I could walk around on a roof as good as anybody.
Well, you know, that's, I don't know why, but they just, I had to use the balance beam for a while, and then, I don't do that anymore, but that's what they did, and they had, I had other things. The Vision Center here of Central Ohio, they had a special support group for parents who had blind children as well, and they gave other ideas. They shared ideas, and they were brainstorming sessions. And
mm-hmm.
Most of the time, my mom, she used to feed me. My dad couldn't stand to watch. He says he's going to have to feed herself one of these days.
That's true.
And so whenever I, they had me, I was in nursery school, and I can remember, my mom and dad, they'd take me to nursery school, and then I'd feed myself in the nursery. Perfect.
Yeah.
But when I got home, it was, I didn't do it. Okay. And then they found out about it, and boy,
kind of
were they upset.
Bottom line, kind of, is your mother spoiled you. Bottom line, right?
Yeah.
Let's cut to the chase.
In a way.
I'm bad about that. Anyway, bless her heart. She didn't know what to do.
No, she did.
She'd never had a blind child before.
No.
She had no idea what to do. She was afraid. She was scared. She didn't know if that blind child could make it. I'm not blaming her for spoiling you, but that's exactly what she did, and that may or may not have been a good thing.
Yeah.
Bless her heart. We've talked often about how hard it is on mothers to send their poor little blind kid off to a boarding school. It's terribly hard.
Yeah, they didn't want to do that with me.
But anyway, eventually you got into school and learned to feed yourself and got to do and dress yourself and all the normal things that that other children do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with a little extra help.
Yeah, with a little extra help because you'd been a little spoiled and you were a little fussy girl.
Yeah.
Little Gail. Well, you know, the experience of blind children, it all varies. It's all different. What the right way to treat a blind child is, I don't know. But I know that those who are allowed to fall and run into things and live in the sighted world do better.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you finally ended up in what school to go to grade school, to start first and second grade?
I went to Broadley Elementary. I was there for 5 years. And then I went to a school called Deschler Elementary. Now, that's up on the south side, and it's a little, let me say it's a bad area in the city. And I did pretty good. The thing about it is they had two classes that I had to switch, so I had to learn my way around and different things. And that's when I started learning how to use a cane.
Okay.
And at first I thought, this is ridiculous, I'm not going to do it, blah, blah, blah. And it took me a few falls and a few kicks in the head, you know.
Yeah,
if
you don't have a warning system like a cane or a dog or something, you're going to run into stuff and you're going to walk down off of curbs and downstairs.
And you better believe it. I've fallen down steps at least 3 or 4 times.
Well, so, but this was a public school with sighted children.
Yeah.
And you were the only blind child there?
Mm-hmm. I was the only one.
And so... This was before computers.
This was before computers, and I just had a brailler to carry around, and boy, I grew muscles.
Big old heavy brailer.
Yes, and had a book bag hanging slung over my shoulder.
Right. Well, when did they finally quit putting up with your temper tantrums?
Well, that was, this is before I got into school, you know, actually.
Yeah, because the teachers wouldn't put up with that.
Oh, no. They made sure. They said, now, you cannot behave like this in school. They're not going to tolerate it. And so I ended up being sent to my room quite a few times.
Is that right?
Yes. They weren't going to take it either. I mean,
you made your childhood hard on yourself, didn't you, pretty much?
Well, my dad, he was really hard on me because, you know, he wanted me to be really independent.
Well, he understood that someday your parents and your mother weren't going to be there to feed you.
Right.
And you had to learn to do yourself, you know?
Yep. Yep.
And so, school, did you do fairly well? How did you like it?
I did fairly well. Math was my subject there were a lot of enigmas in math, of course, and I was really good in reading and language and spelling and all that kind of stuff. In fact, I was in high school level as far as reading when I was in the sixth grade. So, but math.
You're at high school level as far as reading?
Yeah.
When you're in the sixth grade?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty neat, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, when you think about it, because you were reading all this in Braille.
Mm-hmm.
All this was Braille reading.
This was all, and sometimes I would. Now I had a record. I had a record player from the APH.
Uh huh.
And I didn't really. I really liked to read the Braille books more than I'd listen to a record, but. My mom finally sent the machine back and said, "Do not send any more records. Just send her Braille books." And these are from the Cleveland Public Library. I get all my materials from them.
Yeah.
Now, the Upper Arlington Library has an outreach program, and they have I get tapes and CDs, and they're just different books. Like I've read. The Last Juror. I've read The Simple Truth. On a Tussu Grafton Mysteries.
And now these are from where? From who?
These are from the Upper Arlington Library. These books that I'm mentioning now.
Uh-huh.
They have what's called it's an outreach program. They have several volunteers and they deliver books to you, and as soon as you're finished, you call them, and they come, and they have a bag you hang on your door. You put your book in it, and they just come, and they ask me, say, well, do you want another book? And I said, yes.
Yeah.
And so that's how they handle that. And
well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. And I just had to filled out a simple form for me, and that was no big deal. And wasn't anything complicated.
And this is only in Ohio.
Yeah, this is only in Ohio
for students and for people in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a pretty neat thing.
Yeah, it is.
I wouldn't mind having that myself. That sounds pretty good to me.
Yes.
Of course, I get books from Audible, so I've read some of the same books you have, lots of Sue Grafton.
Oh, okay.
The Last Year, but
these come from books on tape now.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have I think they have a website. booksontape.com or something like that.
Yeah, they might have. But there's lots of e-books out there now. There's more stuff for blind people to read than ever before. And it's great. So you graduated high school from this public school. You never went to a school for the blind.
I did go to the school for the blind for a summer program only. I went to the Ohio State School for the Blind just for the summer.
Uh-huh.
And my parents, I mean, I learned a lot there. I mean, we had daily living skills classes. We had home economics, they called it. And then we lived in cottages.
Okay.
And I went to home on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
And so it was really interesting. but I only went there for that summer. And then, I've attended all public schools. After Deschler, I went to Mohawk for 3 years, and that was a rough school. If anybody gave me trouble, I took my Braille writer and whacked him in the knee with it.
Well, do I denote a history of violence here, child?
No.
What is the deal going on? You still whack people with your Braille writer?
I didn't do it on purpose. I usually did it, it was an accidental thing. There were people in the halls, and how you swing your arms sometimes, and I was trying to keep my Braille writer at my side, and the next thing I know, whack. And I always say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry I did it.
Sorry I seem to have struck you down with my Braille writer. Pardon me.
Now you can get up.
Okay, so is that my phone? That's my phone ringing. That's my wife's telephone line ringing.
Oh.
Why don't we do this? Let's take a break and find out. Did you go to college? You went got a degree after high school or not?
Well, I went to college for a while. I got to tell you a few things.
Okay, well, hang on a minute.
College.
Let's take a short break, and we'll let you tell us those few things. We're visiting with Gail Adams. Our show is called Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parr. We'll be back in just a sec, okay?
Okay.
Are you good to go? You got it. Gail Adams is our guest from Columbus, Upper Columbus, Ohio. Beautiful weather in Ohio today, I hope. And you wanted to talk about old-time radio. So tell us about your love for old-time radio.
Well, how it started, I got cable. I got cable and put in my house.
Uh-huh.
About 2001, I believe. And our radio station used to be Central High Radio Reading Service. They have a certain block of time set aside for old-time radio.
Uh-huh.
And when I got one of their receivers when I was 12, but
I
used to listen to it quite a bit. But I quit listening, and then I got back into it, and I was surfing through the channels, and I heard something familiar, and I thought, is that the Radio Reading Service? And it just blew me away. And
so on your cable is the Radio Reading Service for the Blind.
Yes.
What a deal. That's wonderful.
Yes, it is. It's on the community it's the community channel where they have announcements for church suppers and things like that.
Uh-huh.
They have, instead of the You hear the Radio Reading Service, but then on the screen there's different things that are going on.
Okay, that's for sighted people can read the Baptist Church picnic Saturday night beginning at 6, and you're listening to Fibber McGee and Molly.
Yes.
What a great idea.
Yes.
But that's wonderful.
And I started listening to old time radio. They had it on for about an hour, and then they extended it to 2 hours. From 11 to 1, and I thought, how am I going to listen to old-time radio? And I'm thinking, you can stay up on Friday nights and Saturday nights. So that's what I've been doing. But then I've been collecting as well. I've been collecting cassettes. And there's a website that I visit sometimes called radiolovers.com.
Okay.
And they're very accessible with a speech screen reader.
Yeah.
And I give it an 10 on that.
Yeah, there are lots of places now to buy that have access to old-time radio.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Spirits, old-time radio, Otter, this Otter Cat thing that we did some commercials for. So there are lots of places. What are some of your favorites that you really like?
I like Gunsmoke. I like Amos and Andy. I like Fibber McGee and Molly.
Mm-hmm.
The Great Gildersleeve. I like Johnny Dollar. Dragnet.
Yeah.
those, you know, and I like, there's some sci-fi, well, there's, I don't care too much for the sci-fi stuff, but the Escape is good.
But you are, you don't remember this, you weren't, you aren't old enough to have been around when that was on the radio as a child.
No.
No.
But I think there must, well, because I think old-time radio stopped, I'd say in the late...
mid-50s, it really began to decline because television had taken over then.
Yeah.
The last really great series on radio, CBS, was still running up into the late 50s, Gunsmoke.
Yes, I remember. Yes, okay.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon, and he was
the first man they look for and the last they want to meet.
Yes. William Conrad.
It's a chancy job, but it makes a man watchful.
Yes.
And a little horny. Lonely. Excuse me, I got carried away.
Wow.
That's one of my, blind people do weird things. I guess sighted people do weird things, too. But that's one of my favorite speeches. I'm an announcer, and so I work on my voice all the time. And
that's
so I do that. That's one of my work. That's one of my voice exercises that I do. So you might, if you came to my house and the door was open, you might hear Phil sitting in his chair doing the Gunsmoke intro.
That's
and
great.
There's something wrong with that boy. Well, good. I'm glad you discovered old-time radio. It's like television for the blind, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I graduated from, you know, from Briggs High School. So,
okay. In what year?
In 82.
In 82.
82. And shortly thereafter, I was one of 150 students, and I was tapped for the National Honor Society.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Very good little blind girl gets.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, a month after I graduated, I was at my aunt's house, and I was there for about a week. And we were sitting there, their preacher came out to do an interview with me.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting there, and Aunt Marjorie goes, "Gail, are you okay?" And she kept asking me if I was. I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." She says, "You don't look fine." Well, I wasn't fine.
What was the deal?
I was having a seizure.
Like an epileptic seizure?
Yes.
That you had never had before?
No, I never had them before.
This had never happened to you before?
No.
Well, that's the wildest thing I've ever heard.
Well, and then it was just, it was weird. And I felt my whole body was just, felt really... I felt dizzy, and I was nauseous, and my face was all tingly, and
okay,
and I thought I was going to pass out, but finally, I did go into the seizure, and my aunt called my mom. She says, "You've got to get over here. There's something wrong with Gail," and so they took me to the doctor, and so they did some tests, and they said, "Well, she has another seizure. We'll have to put her on medication." Well, I ended up in the hospital. They found something on an MRI.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to have to do some. So I had to see a surgeon because they thought they were going to have to do brain surgery on me. So they sent me to the hospital for about a week. I had to have some tests. And on a Thursday, I ended up having another seizure. So they put me on Dilantin, and I took that for 2 years. And then I kept having more seizures, and so they put me on Tegretol, and I was having a lot more, you know, just, I mean, I wasn't having them every day, but I was having them like three times a month or something like that.
Yeah, too often.
Yeah, too often, and they were awful, too, because once you have one of those, you cannot, you might as well just have brain fog, because it takes you a while to get over that.
Okay.
So.
I've never had one, so I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Well, do they have it under control now?
Yes, I have a. I'm on what's called Carbitrol. It's a long-acting form of Tegretol, and it really does a good job. And I kept having warnings, you know, and I'd call in work and I'd say, you know, I can't come in because I'm feeling sick. I can't, and I will not leave this house if I have
warnings. Well, no, you don't need to. But yeah. So that sort of put your life on hold, I guess, for a while,
didn't it? It does, you know, and it really puts your life on hold. And, when I was telling you about college, I went to Columbus State. I filled out an application for Wright State, but my parents said, well, we don't have the money to send you. So that kind of put a damper on things, and I wanted to become a Spanish teacher, and that went down the tubes because, so many things went down. But I finally, they got me into Columbus State, and, it used to be Columbus Technical Institute. They changed the name.
Okay. Was you going to be your course of study? Did you?
Computer programming.
Go
and
ahead.
The algebra, you talk about bad news. It was just bad news.
So it was a little bigger than you thought.
It was a little bigger than you thought.
Well, we often get into challenges that things we can't handle. So you abandoned that course of study.
Yeah, I abandoned that course of study really quick. And so I ended up in the medical field because I was in the library quite a bit, and they had a Braille medical dictionary.
Yeah.
And come read me.
Really?
It was very inviting. And I wanted to read about, not just about, I see these strange words, and I think, what do these words mean? And I look them up, and I think, boy, I'm glad I don't have that. Or, well, that's a part of the body. Oh, okay.
But one of the things you wanted to do was find out about your condition.
Yes, that's right. I did.
Yeah.
I wanted to find out about it, and I was just going through so many changes and things that, and I wasn't concentrating on my studies, and I just was just not doing what I was supposed to do, and I finally, they said, well, maybe you need to take a break for a while and just get this thing off out of the way and then take it from there. So I left Columbus State, and then I went through some counseling, and I went to the Epilepsy Association of Central Ohio, where I not only volunteered, but I was part of their support group. And I was there during the summer, I think. And then the fall, I started going to Goodwill Rehabilitation Center.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it used to be Central Ohio Rehabilitation Center. They since changed the name. I tell you, these people changing their names.
But, you know, blind people aren't the only folks who have problems in college or who might have bitten off more than they could chew in their college curriculum. So
yes.
That, you know, I wouldn't let that bum me out or anything. You're young. You're 40. You can go back to college and whenever you're ready.
Well, and this was not really my cup of tea, so to speak. I had a counselor who just made a lot of unwise decisions, and I didn't like him then.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
You're not liking your Commission for the Blind counselor. That's unusual.
That's not. Well, I have one now whom I really enjoy being with, and she goes to my church.
Some of them are nice. Some of them are jerks, just like anything.
I know.
So you ended up working at Goodwill.
Yes, I did, in fact. I took a course in word processing. And that's when I learned to use the old Type and Talk, the Ron Hutchinson program.
Yeah.
And I had a Votrax synthesizer, and there were several other blind women in the class, and I think there were a few men in there, too.
This is in the 80s, back in the 80s?
Back in the late 80s, yeah.
Late 80s, yeah.
And I started, that's when I started going out on my I started living out on my own in 86, because that's when my parents said, we are moving. Would you like to stay? or come with us. I said, I'm staying.
They were leaving the Columbus area.
They were leaving the Columbus area. They just, you know, they got a house out in Plain City.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really buy it, I don't think, but I guess they rented it. But anyway, I said, well, I'm staying. And they said, well, we're going to have someone to, you can watch our dogs.
Yep.
And I said, no problem. No big deal. The only problem was that we had a rambunctious beagle named Duke, and he used to jump the fence, and I get a phone call from one of my neighbors. Your dog is out on Bronwyn Avenue. I said, well, he's just going to have to stay out there until he gets his hiney back over here, because
I'm
not doing it.
So you're the dog watcher.
I was the dog watcher.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It was no big deal.
Yeah.
And so I finally stayed out. I was there for 6 weeks, and then they found an apartment for me up on Ryan Avenue. I called it a cracker box, but, you know, it was just a small one-bedroom
apartment.
And
you're still working at Goodwill?
No.
I work
at Children's Hospital now.
Oh, you've changed. You work at Children's Hospital now.
Yes, I'm a medical transcriptionist.
That's your current employment?
Yeah.
You went from Goodwill to there, or did you go back and take some training to learn to do this?
Well, I went through, after I worked at Goodwill, they laid me off because they needed someone with a more. They were restructuring their department, I guess.
Oh yeah.
And so, I had to be let go. So they said we can, you can use this as a reference. I said okay. So as time went on, I started learning medical transcription through another guy named Eric Smith, who's blind. And he does it in his house, and he was showing me, you know, this is, there's different things you cannot and can't do. The job is it's inflexible, because there's certain things you can get by with, and there's a lot of things you just cannot do.
Well, sure.
And so I just have to keep my,
Are you able to do this from home?
Yeah, but I don't want to do it at home.
You rather go somewhere and work.
Well, yeah, but I'll tell you, right now, my job's going to be phased out in the next 2 or 3 years, maybe two, maybe 2 years. So I'm in the market for looking. I don't want to do transcription anymore. I'm kind of burned out on that. I need a new change. I need to broaden my horizons and get... get something other than sitting on my keister and typing all day.
And typing all day. You're tired of that.
I quoted in the email.
That's what I saw that. I saw that in your email. So you want something else, some other something to do. Well, how about I've got some friends who do customer service or customer relations with, like, Marriott. And one guy does it for UPS.
Hmm.
There's that, and let's see, I talked to a guy yesterday, I can't remember what he was doing, but there are several other occupations. Are you still a client of the Ohio Commission?
Yeah, in fact, my counselor and I are working on different avenues. In fact, I'm taking a Braille transcription course now, and I know that's not going to pay enough money, but that's just like for a part-time job, stuff like that, but I'm trying to get certified through LOC, and they're the only place that does it. The only place that does the Braille transcription. Hadley School doesn't do it. I tried Cleveland, and they don't do it.
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay, no big deal, as long as I know what I'm doing. And
well, there are people who work as Braille transcriptionists, aren't there, who you have to get to become certified by the National Braille Institute or something?
They certify through Library of Congress. And what you do is you have 18 lessons. They give you a 5-volume set, and you find an instructor, or they can evaluate you there. I found a local instructor, which was great. Found it on the web.
Yeah.
I was working with somebody at the Vision Center, and she helped me find somebody on the web. And I called her up, and I said, I introduced myself, and I told her I was taking this course, and she said, well, I think you really like it. So I started working on it, and I'm on, I've sent lesson seven in now. So after these lessons, what you do is you pick a novel or any kind of book that's interesting, and you are to transcribe that into Braille. And I have a scanner and open book.
Okay, so you would scan it into your computer, and then you would transcribe it into Braille.
Yeah. I'd have to use the Perkins Brailler. I can't use an embosser.
Well, yeah, use the old noisy Perkins Brailler, right?
You better believe it. And the old carpal tunnel is going to rip.
Well, you can do it. So you're basically...
no big deal.
your job is going to be phased out, and so you're casting about for a new occupation, new to do.
As a fisherman would cast about for...
Would cast about for fish, as it were. Do you mind giving us an email address? Maybe somebody has some idea of what you could do. Somebody like to communicate with you, somebody there in your area. Who knows? Huh?
That's right. I get quite a bunch of stuff for Viagra and stuff like that. We all do.
We all get that.
Everybody
gets that, and there's no way to get around it. Surely the government someday will do something to stop that.
I know,
it's not necessary that you give an email address. I just thought you might want to.
Well, it would be Gadiad. It's all lowercase. It's G-A-D-I-A-D.
G-I-G-I-A-D.
It's G-A-D-I-A-D.
G-A-D-I-A-D.
Mm-hmm.
At
earthlink.net.
At earthlink.net. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe somebody will have some idea of something you could do, or where you could find work as a medical transcriptionist, or you might... Who knows what'll happen? Who knows?
I really don't want to do medical transcription anymore. And if it's the last resort, okay. But.
Well, you got to eat. Remember that?
Yeah. I know. I got to feed the cat, and I got to pay the house payments.
I've gotten to where I like to eat.
Yeah,
and I enjoyed it. All 64 years of my life, I've enjoyed eating.
Just like my dad. My dad says, "Hey, we got to eat."
All right, Gail. Well, you seem to have a good attitude. Be happy. You don't seem down about anything, even though you're going to lose your job in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Life goes on, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Keeps moving on, even in Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our guest has been Gail Adams. Let's take a little break. Be back in just a minute with more. Well, actually, we've come to the end of another exciting Blind Like Me. Don't forget, Dale's auction closes Monday night at midnight. If you want to go bid on the Adams, blindmysmart, all one word, .org. Blindmysmart.org. Go bid on whatever Dale has. I think there's 30-something items there that you can bid on. Thanks for listening. I don't understand why they need Braille transcription people anymore. With all the technology we have, you can scan a book in and convert it to Braille pretty quickly. Anyway, maybe we'll get somebody on who's an expert on those kinds of things. If you'd like to be on the show, Blind Like Me, give us an email or call if you like. My email address, new email address, is Phil, P-H-I-L, at philpar.net. Phil@philpar.net, that's the address that I'm using currently. And let me know, and we'll be glad to use you as a subject on our show called Blind Like Me. We need handyman guests always bad. If you do any type of handyman type stuff, let us know, because we always need guests for the Blind Handyman Show. We have more guests for this show than we do Blind Handyman. So contact me, and I'll send you information on to Don Shaw. Thanks for listening, and if you're on ACB Radio, Blind Handyman will be up next. Thank you much, and we'll see you next week. I'm Phil Parr. Bye-bye.